You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Challenge All-Stars or Wrap-Up podcast for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, my co-host, the loudmouth, Allie. Allie, how are you?
I wasn't going to say it, but since you call me a loudmouth, the way you almost said welcome back and then switched to a quick welcome, it's professionalism.
It's how I roll, Challenge All-Star style.
I'm excited. This was like a high school reunion.
Yeah,
school reunion based on how old I was when these people were on the show.
Yeah, I hit my subscribe to Paramount Plus. Got to see where I left off on my old Challenge rewatch binge. Got to see like an old picture of Kara on my screen right when I loaded up Paramount Plus, which was fun. And then amazingly, I didn't realize this show, the first one ended in June. Like, they really turned this around super quick from season one to season two.
I was going to say, you keep saying re-up. I purchased, there was like that special that Michelle Marshy told us about that was like, if you sign up for a year, it's like $50 for the year. And I don't think that year is up.
Yeah, I always think I'm just going to get fired from this. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to pay for a year. So I'll just do month to month. I feel like I'm on a month to month contract. So I just did month to month. And then I took the summer off and now I'm back.
I don't like using terminology that suggests that this is a job.
Well, so we got to hear about a lot of other people's jobs. This was a whole, like, a career fair, the first 12 minutes of this episode.
But the people, see, work harder, not smarter. Like, the great Brian Scally and Matt Liguori over on the Dom and Colin podcast, they're doing drafts, they're doing preseason coverage. We do nothing, and we get rewarded, because here's our preseason show, baby, episode one. Mm-hmm. Let's just meet the cast.
Let's meet them. And Tina, coming off firing, I thought this was going to be your opening line. It was really one of the best lines of the Challenge I've heard in years. Her life is fabulous. She's a husband. Doesn't work. And got a pool in the backyard. What more do you really need in life?
Oh, see, I'm more connected to, because I have no husband. And all I do is work. So I connected more with, I'm known for getting angry, being mean, and my one-liners.
There you go.
Tina's the breakout. I mean, she's not the breakout. She's like the reoccurring, the resurging, whatever, second coming of the star of this show that is Tina.
Yeah, I think so. I think she was clearly the star of, at least for the first episode. We'll see how it goes moving forward. But she was all over the place. The pre-challenge, during the challenge, and post-challenge, she was all over the place. She was great. Great to have her on our screens again.
And look, so spoiler alert for anyone who's just listening to the podcast and not watching this. This episode ends with the winner of the daily. We do not get to see who's going to be up for elimination, who's going to go into elimination. We do not see an elimination. Does that, am I reading the tea leaves to think that that might mean a good person goes in and they want to give that person two episodes? Or maybe that means, goes home. Or maybe that just means, in general, they want to reintroduce the cast to the people. They want to give everybody two episodes. And I'm fine with it. Not every time. Episode one, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, honestly, I'm fine with it, too. I think for a lot of people that, you know, these people have been off our shows, off our screens for decades. For some of them. So to have them come on for just 40 minutes and be gone, I think for a lot of people, that'd be a lot of disappointing for whoever might go home. So I think no matter who it is, I don't mind that this is being dragged out to episode two. I would be fine if they dragged that all the way and then the elimination just happens at the end. And then we start with normal cadence going forward. I don't think we don't need extra stuff happening in the next episode of getting us off cycle. I'd be fine if they wanted to give everyone their full like, two episode stretch to being on this show.
Retweet. And I'm cautiously optimistic that that's how this is being set up, because they didn't just do it like walking into the lair and then it was the TBC. It was sort of the halfway point of the episode.
And can I say, I know this is sort of jumping ahead, but I absolutely love the format of the voting structure about how this is going to play out. I think this is like a newerish on like a twist on like how they did last season, but I think it really plays super well. I would love the normal challenge to have this type of format. I think it's very cool.
All right, we'll set it up. There are no rules. Yeah. What's the format?
So the format, the winner of, so the loser of the daily automatically goes into elimination. The winner of the daily.
You love to see it. We love to see that.
Love to have that pressure. The winner selects four people, two men, two women, that could go into elimination. And then instead of having some useless tribunal where like the winners pick people who go up for elimination and then pick the people who are in, the winners pick who are up, but then the house votes who goes in. I think that's fantastic. I can't believe we haven't thought of this on our own.
I mean, I love it too. We'll see how it actually plays out. It's much needed, even just from the challenge one to the challenge two, All-Stars one to All-Stars two, in that like we often had a lot of people going in and just saying like, I should go in, I flubbed the challenge. You know, we didn't see that many exciting deliberations from the house vote. So I do think this will cause more rifts and more interesting situations. It's also interesting that, like, just taking a step back, there's going to be, like there was last season, different sort of structures for each daily. Sometimes it'll be individuals, sometimes it'll be teams, sometimes it will be pairs. And so that will be interesting to see, like, okay, sometimes a team of five will be picking the four people, and sometimes it'll just be one person picking the four people. That's at least how I understood it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be how it'll play out. I think it'll be cool as we get down in numbers that there won't be a lot of places to hide. So, you know, if you lose or you win, like you can't just kind of be skating by, which I think we saw for a lot of people in the first iteration of All-Stars, where, you know, you just really just had to not make waves or not really toss yourself purposely into elimination, and you found yourself very close to the final. So I think this will up the gameplay a little bit, which will be good. So, yeah, I'm all for this format. It's fantastic. A plus so far for me.
Let's do a little bit of a roll call. Who's here? We get Brad introduced, and for a lot of sort of mid to long mid-length viewers should really know who Brad is. I feel like he's more of a recent face than some of the other people on this show. Matt James from The Bachelor thought he had the saddest beard of all time in quarantine, and then Brad came along and said, "Hold my beer." Duh.
Yeah, I think he's actually had that beard for a while. Didn't he have that when he like reappeared back on the challenge? I feel like I remember him, and when he was hooking up with Brittany, he had something like that going on. So I think
he had a beard.
His look,
but this is Santa Claus on its way rounding the corner towards Dumbledore.
Right.
This is a big yikes. Yikes.
He's also coming in very humble, saying he's one of the top tier players that's ever been on the show. So
is that true?
I was thinking that. I don't think so. I think he definitely thinks that. Like, I mean, it depends how big a tier is. Is it like, I mean, a tier based off the people on the current challenge? Then yeah. But like over the entire series, again, like how many people are put in that tier? Are we putting 30 guys in that tier? Then sure, maybe he's in that. Is it five people? Then no, he's not. So he's good. He's not, you know.
He was in that stat that I pretended to know last week, and I still don't remember.
Oh, five, six straight elimination wins or something like that? Yeah. So he's got that going for him.
I think the trouble with Brad, for Brad's own reputation, is that Brad is more known for his social faux pas. And I mean, like, he was married to someone on the challenge who honestly has a strong case to have been on this season. I think they actually, maybe people who are adults just like don't want any of this drama, but there are a lot of people there are a lot of missing pairs here. And Brad's one of them, where like his ex-wife, Tori, that he's got children with, he met through the challenge. And then he also, like, so he comes back and he gets into this, like, really dramatic, weird relationship with Brittany from Are You the One and from the challenge. There's this whole pizza box incident with Marie. So I feel like Brad is, like, more well-known for, like, those kinds of antics. And maybe that overshadows his challenge performances unfairly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, fun is the right word, but we have Brad, like, I would say two of, like, the more well-known, like, early day challenge couples was Brad and Tori, and then Danny and Melinda. And here we have half of each of the divorced pairs. We got Brad and Melinda on this season. So I wonder if they have any type of, you know, shared bonding experience for meeting your significant other on the real world, getting divorced, still being in this world, and now here they are together.
I was surprised how excited I was to see Melinda. definitely not someone who like stands out again as like a challenge performer, but look, she's remarried. She's got a 21-month-year-old. So, okay, she's got a 2-year-old child. Right. And you know, like I'm excited for her.
Yeah, excited to see her. I was excited to see Jasmine coming in hot. I love to see the flashbacks of Jasmine fights. Yeah. It was like in the moment, like they're kind of crazy. And then when you see the little clips of them, like her punching a mirror and doing all this stuff, Jasmine was a real firecracker. So I think her, you know, probably not as crazy coming back here, but you never know. She might pop off.
Why do I feel like you're lying down?
I am lying down.
You can tell. It sounds like you're in a toilet bowl. Your microphone's all over the place.
It's pointed right at my face.
You're in full recline. You can hear it moving around, like us doing a swirl.
Okay.
Get it together, Akiva.
I got it steady. I'm tired.
I can hear it. Oh, man. So Darrell is here, 4 in a row elimination wins. No matter what Darrell does, how many times he comes back and doesn't win, he just, it speaks for itself. And like, unlike Brad, who has to say like, I'm a top tier competitor. Mm-hmm. Darrell is just chef's kiss top tier.
And no one enjoys the uncensored part of the show more than Darrell. He's dropping F-bombs just like for the fun of it. He's like, where can I say F? I'll just drop it in there.
F you, TJ. Like, he's been waiting for that to make air. I'm sure he said it a bunch, but it hasn't made air.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's I'm sure a lot of recuts of Darrell confessionals being like, can you clean this up for MTV, please?
The one thing I forgot about how much I liked All Stars is how good the music is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just get, I don't know what it is. The throwback music is there. They give you Backstreet's Back, entrance right into a party. And we get to see Tyler, who is maybe one of the top like 3 people I'm excited to see. And I actually cut a clip here because I had to seek an expert based on something Tyler said.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Okay, here we go. Here's Tyler behind the bar.
Nowadays, I'm pushing 235. I'm all manbies, 12 bear. Some say zaddy. You can call it what you want.
Could you hear that?
I could hear it. Sort of.
All right. Well, sorry to everyone. I won't cut clips, but. He says that he's pushing 235. He's a total man beast, total bear. Some would say zaddy. So I had to go to the man himself, Bryce Isaiah. Can we get your official verdict on this?
Exclusive.
This is exclusive. He goes, I'm not the sum in this case. Laugh cry emoji. Emoji.
Oh, poor Tyler.
Thank you, Bryce. Hey, look, it's not personal. It's just opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Tyler. I mean, Tyler, for people who maybe only familiar with more current day challenge, he was part of maybe the most, not historic, but most memorable moment of the challenge history where the banana's backpack, he was the other half of that elimination. He won that elimination. People, I'm sure a lot of people know that, but people might have forgotten that he was the other half of that.
Oh, yeah, and we actually got to see the rare footage from that part of it. Like, we always see Banana's backpack. We almost never see, CT backpack. That's not what happened. But Tyler versus CT.
Tyler's surviving and doing pretty well in it anyway.
Jody from... One thing we are seeing while we're missing a lot of half of relationships, we are seeing a lot of people from the same season. So no one is more excited that Jody is on than Derek, including probably Jody herself.
Yeah, Derek was jumping through a wall. He was like, I'm ready to run it with her. My road rule brethren. He was jumping for joy.
Leah's back. I got to be honest. Leah looks familiar to me. I have no recollection of her from 18 years ago. Sorry, don't at me. I don't care. I was 12.
Yep. And then George Costanza's on, the hand model.
You're also skipping Leah.
Oh, yeah. Right up past. We're good to go.
I do think she's going to be interesting because she seems like this little issue she gets into with Tina, where Tina's like being annoying and like pressuring her, like, you're single, take your clothes off, go in the pool. And Leah's like, shut up.
Do you know how much a silk dry cleaning is going to cost me? I know I'm not going to win this $500,000. I can't be doing that.
But yeah, Steve from the same Road Rules season as Katie, I like simply cannot. with them. A lot of first time people, one time challengers, which is interesting for an all-star season, but you know, I'm not mad at it.
I feel like it's a risky move for a hand model to come on the challenge. I feel like, you know, you're doing a lot of dangerous stuff. You might get some scrapes. You might break your hands.
It's fully risking his livelihood.
It's a big deal. I mean, it's because Danny walked around with oven mitts. This guy's going to start scaling mountains.
Tech is back. One of the few returnees from last season. I think we already sort of talked about this on our other podcast, but since it's a separate podcast, what's your feeling on Tech being back this season?
I thought he's fun. I'm glad they didn't bring so many people back from the first one, but they did bring some people that like were out of this world for a while, then had a little bit of experience, and now can get better at the game or just be more comfortable back on screen. So I think it's like a good mix of enough people that did this show last time, or even like a Kahuto or so, like a Brad, that have been close enough to this world that it's not so far gone, and then enough people where they've been gone for like 15-20 years. So I do think they balance it pretty well.
I agree with that. And you know, Tech was great this episode. Great fits, great one-liners. I'm happy to see him back. Then we get another new person, Ayana, who I do think has one of the most iconic clips from the challenge. They played it. I slept in my uniform last night because I wanted to win today. I feel like even if you've like Googled the challenge, you've probably seen this clip. I was excited to see her back for that reason. Obviously, she's in a way different life stage. She's got four kids and looking for redemption here.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the common theme for everyone that they kind of hinted on, right? They're a much different person than they were in their 20s. A lot of them now have kids. A lot of them have obviously moved on career-wise, personal-wise. So a lot of them have, the same story, which just would make sense. You know, look at anyone 10 to 15 years in the past and where they are now. A lot of things have changed. So a lot of people playing for some important things.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Sophia didn't have much to say here.
Nope. Trine, okay. Very excited to see her back. Seeing that clip of her again finishing third, reignited my disappointment in the payout structure, which I don't know changed. I hope so, but they didn't really hint that it did. But John A was absolutely robbed. Should have won at the very least half the prize pool or something for being the top finishing girl in the final. But she absolutely killed it last season. So very happy to have her back.
I was not really that happy to have her back because I kind of thought we saw like everything she had to give on the first season, but here she is giving more. And Jemmy, of course, was on Twitter taking credit for having talked to John A about how to have a good social game. Mm-hmm. But you know, John A going up to CT and Tina and saying like, I remember the last time you were a heavy hitter with CT, and I know that because I love you. And it's like, mm-hmm. Boom, we get immediate confessional of like, I'm buttering her up because Tina needs this. And I'm like, yes, John A, play that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we talked about with the format, you're going to need more and more friends this time around. So John is ahead of the game.
Now, I'm going to keep calling out the throwback music, because when they played Shackles by Mary Mary, when TJ came out, that song's been stuck in my head all day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise you. I can't sing it because I'm tone deaf and it's a little too high. But just know that I've been singing it all day, and I will spare you from it. I love it. I love the music.
I think if you could have guess where any of these people are on this show, like where they are right now from where you last saw them, I think the easiest one to guess would have been Kahuta living on a farm with like a 500 sheep. I think that like that makes the most sense. That
It's funny because I thought he was the most unrecognizable physically, like his long hair. Fabio hair.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention that his girlfriend is sort of like a Cara Maria dupe, like without the like crazy hair, and he's living the same life. Like this is like a more sane version of Abram and Cara Maria if they ended up together.
Right. It's like bizarro them. It would have been so amazing if like him and Nani worked out. Like I just, Nani on like a fall, like that just like doesn't, that vibe doesn't check. So like they probably why they didn't work out. probably.
I could see Kellyanne. But then again, like, why do we not have Kellyanne back this season? Kellyanne and Kahuta, a long-term couple. Like, a lot of missed opportunities.
Maybe, I don't know, did they end badly? I don't think so. No, I think
still lock. Still lock. Mm-hmm. I'm calling a Mitch watch for this season. Do you know who I'm going to call?
Derek?
No. Derek doesn't do anything in the background.
Yeah, he's too high profile. No. Who?
MJ.
It's a great one because I don't even know who that is. So fantastic.
You don't. Am I saying the wrong name?
No, I just need. Was he even on screen?
Oh, I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, well, he had this great conversation with Tech that was so funny of like calling him Pepto Bismol, that he was like, I'm the shit or something. It was like a very funny interaction. And then he mentions that he had a 2-year-old daughter the last time he was on. Did we know this? I feel like Tony Raines invented having kids. Like, I was like, oh my God, do we know that MJ had a kid? He's now 14? Like, my head exploded.
Yeah, 2 to 14. That's quite the jump in age.
Okay. no, I just meant I didn't know he had a kid when he was on the last time.
Oh, well.
All right, Casey, do you agree that she's one of the worst challengers we've ever seen?
She would probably fit in with a lot of the people that are on nowadays. But yeah, I like that. Like, she also like just didn't give a crap, but respected that she didn't give a crap. Like, I'm not doing this shit. Like, you can't make me, which I respect.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Casey again. More excited than I thought I would have been on paper. But I think she seemed fun. She was pouring everyone drinks. Like, I think she's working the social game angle. And I think sort of being older and wiser and less with Wes is going to sort of help. Potentially.
She was only still 34, right? Was that what she said? So she was like really young when she was on these shows back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Nehemiah, he's someone I'm definitely happy. He was probably the person I wanted to see back the most. I'm definitely happy to see him back, although he's in a little bit of a precarious situation.
Mm-hmm. How would you rate his speech or toast?
They did edit a lot of it out. Like, they had a confessional going while he was talking, so a little bit rude. He lost me in the beginning when he like claimed TJ asked him to make the toast, but right. I think his... The biggest point is the punchline, and I think he hit it with season one is in the bag. Season two will be the best challenge they ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid, that was solid.
7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 7 out of 10.
There was a little moment of Derek where I just perceived him as absolutely boiling that he was not making this toast.
Oh, you think Derek? I don't know. Derek doesn't seem like he's a toast guy. I don't think he would want to do it.
Oh, when they were all at the beach and or wherever, and TJ was like, welcome to the challenge, whatever. Derek puts his beer up, faces the whole crowd, and like nobody is doing it with him. And he's like clinking people forcibly. Maybe he is the Mitch Watch, but it was pretty funny.
We'll keep him on alert for the backup Mitch Watch in case things need to change.
So Derek C, Jasmine, and Janae are also a little bit of a trio from their season together. And we see Derek C coming in, having a great time. He does a little Tina drag. Also seems like he's going to be sort of a crowd favorite, social game favorite.
Mm-hmm. And neat. But right. The Tina's other half.
I think you nailed it. Derek said, I haven't aged, but I've aged, but I haven't grown up. Derek, you have not aged. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah.
And then
what we're, a trio. We're amazing, yeah. Cancun, to see three of them all together here. Cancun was like the first Real World season that like got me back into Real World.
Oh, really?
That one. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting that they're like sort of foreshadowing some tension between some folks, including Jonae and Jasmine, but that's apparently repaired. We'll see how alcohol and stress and competition affects that. We also see Derek and Nehemiah have some sort of unresolved tension from last season, and Janelle and Darrell have a little secret alliance going that they are friends in real life, but no one knows that. I love that pair. They're the pair to watch.
Yeah, Bay Area duo. No one does it like the Bay Area.
When they showed Janelle winning the challenge, it was pretty hilarious to watch them all celebrate getting $10,000.
Oh my God, I thought the same exact thing. It was very funny. Like, oh my God, it was $10,000. Look at us go.
So we get to the daily. Another way to infuse drama is to have you pick your own teams. Mm-hmm. And the curse of rejecting a powerful woman in the challenge, the CT cam curse, Nehemiah snubs Tina inexplicably and then loses the challenge.
Yeah, it's tough, especially because this is different. Like, this is just obviously just picking partner for one day. So it's not like such as big of a decision as that was with CT when you're picking a partner for like the entire season, theoretically. So I think for in this type of situation, like almost no matter who it is, especially if it's someone like that could win or like or in a position of power, I feel like you just got to say yes. If someone comes to you and has to be your partner, just say yes. It's just for one day and it's not worth pissing them off.
It's also Tina.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, especially if it's a good competitor, but I'm just like in general. Like, it's just really not worth the risk of them now being mad at you for shunning them.
Agreed. So we won't go through everyone, especially because the show didn't even go through everyone. But I do want to flag Ryan, because I was sweating when he didn't get an intro package. I was like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And then he does get one right before the challenge. And he does not disappoint. He is playing for his non-existent dog and his non-existent husband.
Very, very funny stuff. I love Ryan. I really thought the show did him dirty because they were like the first runs off him and Jasmine, and they were like, you know, doing like their worm, like slow crawl across the beam, and like it, everyone acted like creep. They were like,
yeah. The fact that they played Creep was so funny.
Like, I really, because then it was like, oh my God, everyone's making fun of them for going about it like this, and then everyone does it the same way, and I feel like they really did them dirty, acting like they suck at this, and then no one walked across.
Yeah, I mean, they did it to Derek too when they played what butt song did they play, you know, that one. Yeah, it was embarrassing at first, but then I think the way that they all got through sort of lessened the blow. I did think it was crazy that TJ comes and lectures them. Don't make it a rickety ass beam then. Make it just a pure beam.
It's just because the boats are moving, right? I would imagine that. I don't have a lot of experience crossing beams in water, but if the boats are both moving, I would imagine that makes it even harder to cross a beam.
And the beam's fun. The waves already.
Yeah, it's very difficult. There's someone, like, who was it? I think Derek tried, or Nehemiah tried, I think, or whoever, one person tried and just fell immediately and, like, almost hurt themselves. So clearly that was not the move.
Yeah, Nehemiah did it. He straddled the beam, which as a former gymnast without balls, I could tell you that it really, really hurt. So I can't imagine how he felt. But I did die when Terrell said Nehemiah's nuts are in his throat. it's a shame Ayana falls.
Yes.
And there's really no competition. The bar is extremely low. And it's just like, if you can finish this probably easy. Like, I really don't say a lot that I could do a challenge. This, like, you could kind of do this challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, definitely not like win, but I feel like I can complete it for sure. And then just a hysterical moment with Casey being afraid to jump off and Tech just absolutely launching her off the boat. And he's like, what, you couldn't have made the basket? She's like, literally, he's like doing flips off the boat with how far. I thought he was gonna give her a little like encouragement, a little push. He just like grabbed her by the life jacket and just like flung her off the boat.
And hysterical. Then he's mad at her,
right? He's like, what, you couldn't make the shot? It's like, I couldn't even sing, I was upside down.
And we find out that every elimination is going to be a double. Makes sense. This is supposed to be sort of a quick season. Well, I'll be sad when people go.
Allie, they only did this because no one walked across the beam. If everyone walked across the beam, it would have just been single elimination. Come on.
Yeah.
This was their punishment.
That's true. They did. It's amazing the production was able to swap it out on the fly so quickly.
They changed the entire format of the entire season because people didn't walk across this moving beam, obviously.
But next week we'll be back and we'll see who Derek and Jody will pick to nominate for consideration for elimination. And that's it. We met the cast. We met each other. We're here.
I like Tina giving it back to TJ a little bit. Like, oh, why don't you walk across the beam? That was very funny. TJ, as you'll see, if you never watched All Souls before, he cuts loose a little bit more here and he gives it back to the players. We can see more casual TJ in All Stars than we saw it here as well.
It's very like Rob about on Big Brother. Before Big Brother, people used to like at him. But yeah, I love it. He's like, what are you a good Christian meme? Like, he's just like SpongeBob memes are.
This is totally off topic, but I forgot to bring this up when we did the Challenge Proper podcast. It's not really about the show. But for anyone that watched it live or on the DVR, they literally did like 45, 50 minutes into the episode. They did a commercial for the episode that was currently airing. And like, I've never seen that before in my entire life of any show. It was crazy. They were like, catch the challenge airing at 8 o'clock and see what the daily competition is. And like, it was like 8:45, 8:50. And the episode, like the daily already happened. It was very weird. MTV's got to like get their stuff together.
I mean, that's pretty funny because they did that on Paramount on P+. I watched a commercial for the Challenge All-Stars in the last like 5 minutes of the Challenge All-Stars. Whoa. All right. I think that's our time.
Any guesses on who might be up for elimination?
I'm hoping it's not Tina. Prayers, candles for Tina.
You think they go to Nehemiah and Ayanna and ask them who they want to go up against? That was like the common theme we saw a lot last season of going up to the people who are going in and being like, who do you want to go up against? Do you think do their wishes get put in the mix?
I don't know when it comes to Derek with his tension with Nehemiah, if he's going to want to honor it or if he's going to want to have Nehemiah go home. I'm really just somehow worried that it's going to be Tina. I really don't want it to be Tina. That's all I can think about. Is it going to be Tina? That's like all I can. We'll see soon enough.
Yep, we're episode two. So, yeah, so that's it, right? Anything else for this week? Because there's really nothing else. The first, literally all just here they are.
30 minutes. We're in and we're out, baby. Clean. Perfect.
All right, you can subscribe to this and Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies on the same feed at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter, Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. Where can they follow you and catch everything you're doing?
You can follow me at Last Tweets. You can leave us questions for the challenge proper or the challenge all-stars in the same form. I'm not going to make a new form. You guys are smart. It's tagged in my pinned tweet at Last Tweets. You can check out as well as Brian's at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. You can maybe we could get Scally to pin it also just to avoid any confusion. you could check out the RHAP B&B, my favorite time of year, talking about Survivor with Mike and Liana, playing some games over at Rob's podcast. And you could check out New Girl Old Guy. We did a great episode with me and Kiwi. We've got a great episode coming up with Ob from the Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good Curb podcast. You could check that out at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. And you could catch me right now going to sleep.
Perfect. We'll be back next week for episode 2. Until then, have a good one.